Good morning. Happy Friday. Happy Arbor Day. If you're thinking of planting a tree in honor of Arbor Day, our gardening guru, Jim Fazell, says, heck yes.
You bet you should plant a tree, Steve. We should all be planting trees. You know, Arbor Day is an interesting day. It was started by Sterling Morton, and we should all be familiar with him because of Morton Salt and the Morton Arboretum. But he started Arbor Day after watching what was happening out in the prairies in the Dust Bowl of the 1930s. The prairies had been denuded by plowing, and the wind picked up the soil there and moved it east. I can remember as a youngster with the snow being red because of the dust from the prairies. And we need trees. Trees are natural air conditioners. They protect us from the winter winds as well. They reduce air pollution. They absorb a lot of this stuff, the dust and the dirt and some of the chemicals as well. They absorb noise. We know that living near O'Hare, where we have areas where there are no trees, we can sure hear the airplanes a lot better than we can where there are trees. And they break up the harshness of the concrete jungle. They create comfortable, friendly places in the city. You know, if you're familiar with what the city was in the 40s, and actually in the 30s down in the city of Chicago, the fact that we have a lot of trees planted now makes it an entirely different city. It's not as much of a concrete jungle as it was at one time. And Illinois is the prairie state. We originally had a few trees along the waterways. Most of them, the Indians had burned off in the prairie. And if our ancestors planted the trees that we have now, if it hadn't been for them, we still wouldn't have trees in our towns. So we need to do the same for our kids. Now, we do have big trees. The urban forest is even aged, however. These trees are all planted at the same time. They're going to expire at the same time. Most of them around here were planted when the communities were developed or after the Dutch elm disease 50, 60, 70 years ago. And there have been other past epidemics, and there are going to be more, like the emerald ash borer. So it seems like about every 50 years or so, we get something that kills trees. So we do need to keep planting them. I like to plant trees. I've planted hundreds of them, and I try to plant some every year. They don't need to be big. When our kids were little in school, we used to have Arbor Day celebrations with the second graders, and we give them all trees. Some of those trees were planted here in the city of Park Ridge. Those are big trees overshadowing the houses now, and that just shows you that you don't have to plant a big tree, plant a little one, because they do grow. So attend a plant tree, a tree planting celebration, and plant a tree if you get a chance to do it, and enjoy this wonderful spring. It's a gorgeous one.
And Jim, I've noticed a lot of people pile up the mulch and dirt around the base of the tree when they plant it, and I seem to recall that you don't think that's a very good idea.
Oh, gosh, those are the mulch volcanoes or the soil volcanoes. You know, a lot of people think that looks nice. Well, it may look nice, but it certainly isn't nice for the tree. The tree should not have soil on the bark. Now, the bark is the part of the tree that's above the root system, and there is actually a line on the trunk of the tree, if you look for it, where you can tell that the trunk started to grow and the roots went the other direction. This is the collar of the tree. You do not want to bury the collar. If you cover it with soil or with mulch or anything else, it will tend to stay moist. If it stays moist, disease organisms are perfectly capable of entering the trunk part of that junction, and when they do that, they eventually can girdle the tree and kill the top. Now, I've seen trees 20, 30 inches in caliper that were buried that way, and maybe 10 years after it was done, these trees begin to decline. You pull the mulch and the soil back away, and you find out that the bark has been killed down there because of these rotting organisms, and the tree is doomed. Very simple to prevent that kind of damage. Just do not pile soil up on the trunk of the tree. If you want to pile up soil around the roots, you can do that 2 or 3 inches deep, but leave an area around the base of the tree where the mulch or soil is pulled back to expose the collar.
We are recording this on April 30th, Arbor Day. Tomorrow is May Day, Jim, and May Day has significance in a number of different ways for different people, but for the flower community, it has a special history, doesn't it?
Well, May Day is an interesting holiday. We don't celebrate it too much anymore, but it's a beautiful time of the year, and there's a tradition that we've carried on that was that my grandparents started, or at least as far as I know, they started in our family, but it was pretty common 50, 100 years ago. This is to surprise somebody with a bouquet, a shut-in, or a favorite person. Go out in your garden and pick a few flowers. Buy a couple of bunches of flowers from the neighborhood florist or a chain store and put them in a little basket, or maybe in just even a little cone that you can put a handle on. The idea is to take this little bouquet, hang it on a door, It could be a small potted plant as well, and just put it on the porch. Then you ring the doorbell, and you run and hide, and you watch to see when somebody comes, so they don't know who it is. This is a surprise for them, and the joy of the whole thing is that it is a surprise, and nobody's going to know where these came from. Lots of fun. It gives you a joy for your heart, but it certainly makes some other people happy on May Day.
And peeking ahead at the calendar a few days, Cinco de Mayo is coming.
Cinco de Mayo, you know, that's an interesting day, too. And in addition to being a Mexican celebration, it is the frost-free date, so-called, here in this part of the country. The average date of last frost here is actually Wednesday, May 5, which is Cinco de Mayo, of course. That means that 50% of the time we're going to get another freeze after that. So this is really a misnomer. The latest date of last frost, meaning that there's a date when you're never going to have another or rarely have another frost after that, would be about May 30th. I can remember one exception to that one. Orion Samuels and I were at O'Hare Field ready to catch a plane on May 30th, and the fields out there were all white with frost. So it made it to May 30th. Now, there are a couple of fables about when you should set out plants, depending on the weather. Some of the old farmers around here, truck farmers around here, always said you absolutely never put out tender plants until the full moon in May. That happens to be May 26th, so it's pretty close to the 30th. And then there was another old friend out here, Nick Scoopus, who grew lots of vegetables out in almost his backyard, but he had a great big catalpa tree, and I said, let's go look at the catalpa, because you do not want to put out tender plants until the catalpa leaves are the size of your hand. Well, catalpa leaves haven't come out yet, so you don't want to put semi-hardy or non-hardy plants, but you can plant some hardy things like petunias, snaps, pansies, of course, broccoli and cauliflower. In fact, you could put out tomato plants if you're able to cover them. But keep in mind, if you're listening to WGN, it says we're going to have a frost tonight, get some blankets and cover up these plants so that they are going to survive the frost, because usually we'll have frost one or two nights, and then we get away from that and we get back to good weather. So if you want to play the odds, go out and plant now, but keep in mind that 50% of the time you could still have a frost.
Yeah, keep the blankets handy. We had rain over the last couple of days in a few places, not in all. Should we be watering, Jim?
Yeah, you know, we are in a drought here in this part of the country. We have had very little rain since the beginning of spring, I think maybe at most 2-3 inches. And the snow that we had, even though it was foot deep or several feet deep in most of our yards, had very little water in it. When it fell, it was powder dry. Our snow cover here, when I melted it all down, had less than 2 inches of water in it. So we're really in a bind as far as water is concerned. If you can do that watering, you really need to consider it now. Take the sprinkler out. It's about time to do that. You need to water new trees and shrubs especially. And be sure that if you have shrubs that tend to be under an overhang in front of your house, that you set a sprinkler on those and get them watered thoroughly. Lawns, you need to apply an inch of water. We should get an inch of water a week, and that's about what these plants need, an inch of water a week. If you get that, you don't need to water, but if you're not getting that, you better get out and kind of protect your plants. One other thing, you know, there are these bags that we put around trees called water gators or tree gators. If you have one of these, put it out and water your tree about once a week. Give it the 20 gallons of water, especially the new ones that have been planted less than 3 years usually, to protect them. Because if you don't do that and this drought continues, you might be jeopardizing those and you may even lose them.
Mr. Fizz, Jim Fizzell, our gardening guru. Technically, he's an ornamental horticulturalist, but I kind of like gardening guru.